From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now tuned into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, always have been, and we have a fantastic show on the table for you all today. On today's show, we will chat with Todd Duckett, of course, former Michigan State running back, great, and founder of New World Flood, and we'll chat about his thoughts on the upcoming Michigan State football season, as well as the back-to-school expo that his organization puts on right on the hills, right before the school year begins. We'll chat with Todd about that fantastic community-wide event and so much more. We'll also dissect the Geno Smith brawl that took place in the locker room of the New York Jets yesterday morning and what this means for the Jets moving forward. Also, Floyd Mayweather Jr., he recently listed his all-time top five boxers, and I'm baffled. Just question marks running throughout my brain left and right. I tell you, Floyd Mayweather Jr., he just never ceases to amaze me with some of the stuff that comes out of his mouth. Unbelievable stuff. All right, and later on in the show, we'll also talk about NFL owners hearing proposals for a possible team in sunny Los Angeles, California. All of that and so much more. If you want to be a part of the discussion on today's show, you know that number. Just call 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. But hey, let's start this party like we always do. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners for this Wednesday hump day, August 12th. The Facebook pages of Michigan football and basketball were hacked at some point overnight, featuring posts with explicit content, entertainment, and gossip. The usual posts about the teams were no longer on the feed. The hack had a wide reach. Michigan's football's Facebook page has 1.4 million likes, which means it appears in the news feed of all of those users. The men's basketball page is liked by 438,000 users. Wow. So basically, Michigan's football and basketball Facebook pages turned into basically TMZ. Crazy stuff. All right, Michigan State men's soccer open today. Practice open today, I should say, at 7 a.m. The team began with a fitness test and completed the first day with training. Will be completing the first day of training at 3 p.m. at the practice field. Michigan State returned six starters from last year's team that finished the season 12-5-6 overall and 4-2-2 in Big Ten action. Spartans advanced to the Elite Eight for the second straight season. Michigan State is ranked number 9 in the National Soccer Coaches Association preseason top 25 poll. Michigan State has granted a release to cornerback Justin Williams, a sophomore from Treasure Coast High School in Port St. Lucie, Florida, according to spokesman John Lewandowski. Now, Williams, listed third on the depth chart at cornerback entering fall drills, did not see action last year after redshirting in 2013. 6'1", 180-pound Williams chose the Spartans over South Carolina, West Virginia, and Cincinnati. The Lansing Lugnuts playoff tickets are on sale right now, headlined by a championship Labatt Thirsty Thursday and a chance to win tickets to the Michigan State and Oregon game. Lansing will host game two of its first round series against the Great Lakes Loons on Thursday, September 10th at 7:05 p.m. Since it's the same weekend that Michigan State hosts Oregon on the gridiron in a nationally watched college football showdown, any Lugnuts fans who wear Spartans gear will be entered for a chance to win two tickets to cheer on Michigan State against the Ducks at Spartan Stadium. The Kansas City Royals, they rolled by the Detroit Tigers 6-1 on Tuesday night at Kauffman Stadium. Anibal Sanchez lasted 5 1/3 innings for the Tigers and gave up 7 hits and 5 runs. Rajai Davis drove in the lone Detroit run with a sacrifice fly in the 7th inning. Detroit hands the ball to Daniel Norris tonight as they look to avoid the first three-game series sweep in Kansas City since August 28th to the 30th back in 2012. Ugh. It marked the first time in Major League Baseball history, get this, that all 15 home teams that played on the same day won. Since the league expanded to 30 teams in 1998. Wow, if I was a betting man. Now, according to Elias Sports Bureau, the official statistician for MLB, the previous record for most games on a single day in which every home team won was 12, set on May 23rd, 1914. Home teams have gone 11-0 six times, the last being on September 16th, 1989, according to Stats. Stats also says the odds of all home teams winning with a full MLB schedule is 1 in 32,768. Riddle me that, right? The altercation in the New York Jets locker room that ended with quarterback Geno Smith suffering a broken jaw began over a dispute of $600. Smith, who will miss at least 6 to 10 weeks with two fractures in his jaw, accepted a $600 plane ticket from Ike and Mkapapale to appear at the reserve linebackers football camp in Texas on July 11th. Problems arose when Smith did not show up to the camp, which took place days after someone close to Smith was killed in a motorcycle accident in Miami. And the NFL took another step toward placing a team in the second biggest market by hearing presentations for possible franchise relocation to L.A. The 32 teams' owners heard presentations from three member clubs, the San Diego Chargers, Oakland Raiders, and St. Louis Rams, who are battling local stadium issues and considering an L.A. move as soon as the 2016 season. Well, that wraps up our current Sports Quick Hit headliners. Call in right now, 517-355-9527. All right, folks. Well, I tell you what, we've got a fantastic show in store for you all. I'm excited because we will be inviting one of our beloved guests. His name is Todd Duckett. Of course, formerly known as TJ Duckett. Todd is a MSU running back great who has been doing some outstanding things in the community. And, today on that same notion, he always hosts the Back to School Expo. It's a really cool event. It's a community-wide K-12 information fair held at the Lansing Center in downtown Lansing, Michigan. It's designed to supply K-12 kids with a great start to their school year with school-related information, backpacks, and school supplies. So Todd will be joining me on the show around the 1:30 mark. You do not want to miss that. He'll also dive into and break down his thoughts on the Michigan State upcoming football year. So you don't want to miss that, folks. But we'll be breaking down, of course, the Tom Brady situation, in which the judge who will be hearing the Tom Brady versus the NFL Deflategate case has been urging both parties to settle and not take this thing to court. So Brady has been battling back and forth on whether or not to take the settlement. We'll give you an update on that story. And also, we'll give you guys some brief thoughts on the mid-Michigan high school football scene. And I tell you what, folks, it's one of my favorite areas of coverage as a sports reporter here in the area. There's nothing like covering high school sports, folks, because, I always say, covering high school sports is, that level of competition where kids are just playing strictly for the love of the game. They're not getting paychecks. They're going out there and playing for the love of the game and to possibly come close to winning a state championship. So we'll break down some of the more intriguing storylines before the high school football scene starts, as we are now just weeks away from not only just college football, but high school football as well. We encourage you all to call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Of course, just like each and every weekday here on the show, we'll be taking your calls all the way up until 2 p.m. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports or even tweet me at Al Martin WKAR. And we start today's discussion with a very interesting, odd, and upsetting story, especially if you are a New York Jets fan. I don't know why you would be here in Michigan, but we do have some New Yorkers who do listen to the show. And that concerns the New York Jets and Geno Smith, quarterback of the Jets, who will be out 6 to 10 weeks after being sucker punched by his teammate, now former teammate, as he was quickly expelled from the team after this incident took place, his name being Aiki Enemkapale. I've been messing that name up for 2 days now. But anyway, Aiki, he will not be a part of the team anymore. He was let go right after this incident took place in the New York Jets locker room. He sucker punched Gino after an altercation, during an altercation, I should say, in the Jets locker room over $600. Interesting story. You know, I'm pretty sure many of you guys have heard this story. What exactly happened and what this beef is to have been about is over $600, in which Aiki, he told Gino that, hey, I want you to come out to a camp for charity that he was putting together. So Gino apparently agreed. IK paid for a plane ticket that cost, of course, $600 for Gino to come out, to fly out and be a part of the camp. But Gino did not show up because he had something else to attend, because one of his close friends was actually killed in a motorcycle accident in Miami, Florida. So he could not attend the event. And IK said, hey, man, you owe me some moolah. You owe me that $600 back. In which it's being reported that, you know, Gino said, okay, I'll pay you it back. That never happened. And this whole feud started. This whole beef started. And it's just a really odd story because, you know, I feel like every single year, right before the NFL season starts, we always hear about a scuffle or a fight or an altercation that happens in preseason training camp leading up to the start of the NFL year. It happens. Fights happen in NFL practice and camp. And, you know, to be honest with you, I mean, you know, if you talk to different coaches around the league or even players and personnel, when fights happen in practice, sometimes they liven up practice. Coaches and players get amped up and focused when you have that kind of an intense atmosphere. But this was sort of a different story because, first off, this fight did not happen on the field. And also about what this fight was about. This was about, what's being reported is this fight was about $600 that Geno Smith owed his respective teammate and he didn't pay. So this had nothing to do with an on-the-field problem concerning the X's and O's. This had nothing to do with a position battle or anything like that, anything of that nature. So, you know, it sort of has a different feel from the other usual fights that you see in an NFL training camp, you know, or practice. So, you know, and it happened in the locker room. Again, this wasn't on the field. And to be honest with you all, this wasn't Geno's fault, I don't think. You know, because, he was sucker punched. I mean, what that means, when you say you were sucker punched, that means you were just sitting there minding your own business, did not see the punch coming whatsoever, did not think it was going to escalate to that point, to that boiling point, and he basically cold cocked you out of nowhere. And now, and you rarely, you know, even though these fights do happen, they happen more so on the field during training camp, as I stated, you never see an injury take place when it comes to a fight in training camp or practice. This is a pretty serious injury. Again, fractures to the jaw of Geno Smith. That will put him out 6 to 10 weeks. That's big. And especially, this is your quarterback. This is your quarterback, folks. So, hey, at the end of the day, you know, I think the right thing happened here when it comes to the New York Jets letting go IK Enemkapale. I think I'm saying his name right now. So I think the right thing happened here, but it's pretty unfortunate that your starting quarterback now has to sit out a lofty period when he could have been, if this altercation didn't happen, he could have been starting in week one and possibly helping this team out. So, and you know, there's been a lot of people that look at the story and say, okay, if this did happen where, you know, a relatively unknown teammate, you know, one of the New York Jets, you know, punches the quarterback, people have been saying, you know, and asking the question, you know, does that locker room have any respect for Geno Smith? Well, one, they should, because he is the starting quarterback for the squad. But if an incident does happen like this, I can see how that question should be raised. I'm curious to get your thoughts on this, folks. 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. And when it comes to Enemkapale, I mean, this is not his first brush with violence, if you will. If you look at his history, at 19 years old, You know, while at a bar when he was in college at Louisiana Tech, a fight broke out and he punched an off-duty cop. He's punched a police officer, folks, who was working security at the bar at the time. Now, on that night, an Impale had to be subdued first with pepper spray. And get this, it even went as far as stunning him with a stun gun. Wow, it was that serious, folks. And then he was arrested and charged with battery on a police officer and disturbing the peace slash drunk, according to court records. The charge was amended to a simple battery, and he received a suspended jail sentence, and it was placed on 13 months probation. He was also ordered to perform 32 hours of community service and to complete an anger management course. So, yeah, the right move was certainly made here when it comes to letting go an Impale. You don't want any destructive nature in your locker room, especially when it comes to your quarterback. So now this opens the window of opportunity for Ryan Fitzpatrick. And Fitzpatrick, this is so amazing to me. He has started now for five teams. For five teams, Ryan Fitzpatrick has started. He keeps on, you know, getting these chances. And his record is just ugly. It's 33-55-1. 33-55-1 is Ryan Fitzpatrick's record, and now he gets another start, another opportunity, window of opportunity at least, for the New York Jets. Just a mind-boggling story, and you know, it really caught many people's eyes because, again, you hear about fights, you know, in training camp and practices, but rarely do you hear about a fight leading to a long-term injury for a star player on a respective franchise. Very interesting story. I want to invite right now the man behind the glass, our fantastic engineer of WKR's Current Sports, Isaac Constance. Isaac, how you doing?
Al, I'm doing well. And you're exactly right. This player, first off, he had a serious past of injuries, which for fringe players, why even bother with that? There are plenty of players who never get a chance but have a clean slate. Just go after those guys. But yeah, Geno Smith now out 6 to 10 weeks. And what I heard, in fairness to IK, and I'm not even going to try that last name because I know I'll mess it up, but in fairness to IK, I don't think it was a sucker punch in that he punched him in the back of the head. Supposedly, a tweet that I read from Rich Clamini said that IK did put his finger, or Geno did put his finger in the face of IK before the punch was thrown. Still inexcusable, though. At least say knuckle up, you know, put him up, something like that. A sucker punch?
Yeah, come man. On, man. I mean, that's just like, come on, dude. Well, first off, it shouldn't be happening in the locker room, period. And, you know, the story is just so interesting because, again, this is over $600. Again, and this is one of those things where, you know, you have a case of an athlete who really doesn't know or has put in perspective just how good he has it. I mean, he's a member of the New York Jets. And first off, you know, and there's a fine line of him not being a member of the New York Jets because he isn't a Geno Smith, where his position is pretty much locked down. I've never even heard of this guy. You know what I mean? I don't know. Maybe he's making some headway in practice or was making some headway in practice where he could have, you know, been a permanent member of the squad and, you know, been making some good moolah. But now all of that goes out the window because of just plain old stupidity. So there you have it, folks. What do you think of this story? 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. You know what, Isaac? I had to get one more thing off my chest here because I tell you what, he is pound for pound, statistically, the best boxer in the game today. He has broken pay-per-view numbers that we have never previously seen before. And I don't know even know why people still pay for his fights. I happen to be, to continue this sucker trend that we're talking about here on the show, I was suckered into buying that Floyd Mayweather and Manny Pacquiao fight. But Floyd Mayweather just puzzles me sometimes with the things he says. And I think sometimes he just rattles off with his mouth just to get some attention, because he always wants the public talking about him, because we all know that if you're talking about him, hey, that drives an attention, and attention can, in many cases, have a direct correlation to dollar signs. But Floyd Mayweather Jr., I mean, this was just plain old stupidity. And it really shows me that the man just doesn't know his place in boxing history and really doesn't even know boxing history that well, to be honest with you. is really interesting now because, you know, Floyd Mayweather, who will be fighting Andre Berto in September to wrap up his historic career, he recently appeared on ESPN Deportes, where he was asked to rank his top five boxers of all time. And get this, folks, brace yourself if you haven't heard this list. This is how his list played out. I'll start at number five, actually. At number five, guess who he has? Muhammad Ali. At number five, folks. Then at number four, he goes with Julio Cesar Chavez. Number three, Pernell Whitaker. Number two, Roberto Duran. And of course, in Floyd Mayweather narcissistic fashion, he puts himself at number one as the greatest boxer of all time. I tell you what, he's just delusional. And I don't even think when Floyd, to be honest with you, when Floyd Mayweather legitimately put together this list, Isaac, after he put that list up on the board, I don't even think that he believed what he had just done. I don't even think he believes that list at all. How you're telling me that Roberto Duran, Pernell Whitaker, Julio Cesar Chavez, who are all great fighters in their own right, and himself are all better than Muhammad Ali, who, in many people's eyes, for the majority, you know, it's kind of like that argument with in basketball, who is the greatest basketball player to ever live. The consensus will tell you Michael Jordan. And that's in the world of boxing, that's sort of how Muhammad Ali is. I mean, when you talk about the greatest of all time, there are very few who will argue otherwise that Muhammad Ali is not the GOAT. But if you're going to put together that list, you would think that, okay, if you're going to put anyone at number one other than Ali, you would think that Ali would be number two or three on that list. But number five, Floyd Mayweather, he blows my mind.
You're exactly right. Like, going along with that basketball analogy, the thing is, if you don't put Michael number one, you can make an argument for that. You can say, well, Wilt Chamberlain scored 100 in the game. He was the most dominant player when he played. Bill Russell had 11 rings. You can make all of those arguments. For boxing, it's similar because you can make debates for the likes of Sugar Ray Leonard alongside Muhammad Ali for that number one spot. But you don't say Muhammad Ali's number five.
And he didn't even have Sugar Ray on the list.
No Sugar Ray on the list. No Mike Tyson. None of that. And he puts himself at number one. And you talked about his lack of boxing history knowledge. He picks Roberto Duran and not even Sugar Ray on the list. Sugar Ray won two of three meetings against Duran. How do you do that? And as far as his place in boxing history, I think he knows exactly where he lies. And that's why I think he came out with this list.
Where he thinks he lies.
No, I think he knows where he lies. And I think that's why he came out with this list.
He doesn't lie at number one. Let's be honest.
Exactly. He doesn't think so either. That's why he put Muhammad Ali at number five, because there's no way anybody with an IQ over 20 would think that Muhammad Ali is not one, two, or three in boxing history.
It's absolutely ridiculous. And I just stood there, and I actually watched the video of when Floyd Mayweather put together that list live and the reasons that he gave as to why Roberto Duran and Pernell Whitaker and Julio Cesar Chavez were above Ali were just mind-boggling. And the reason why he was number one was absolutely mind-boggling. He talked about how, you know, again, as I mentioned, his pay-per-view numbers are through the roof. No one has ever broken his pay-per-view numbers. And how, first off, his record is flawless. He always brings up that, which it is. But at the same time, I would argue that, you know, Floyd has run from the fighters who are in their prime, who probably could have knocked him off if Floyd Mayweather would have fought those fighters in their prime, or I tell you what, they would have given him a pretty good run for his money, without a doubt. And then he brought up, you know, his fighting style, the best defensive fighter ever, his punching percentage. He brought up that as well, and how he has the highest landing percentage of any fighter ever, and all this kind of crap. It just really blew my mind. And then he goes to Roberto Duran and talks about it. I don't know if you've seen the No Mas documentary that ESPN did. Fantastic documentary that really documents Sugar Ray Robinson's, you know, time during those three matches against Roberto Duran. And Roberto Duran being really the first fighter to ever knock Sugar Ray off of his pedestal in his prime, and how that was the biggest challenge for Sugar Ray during his entire fighting career was fighting Roberto Duran. And, you know, how he had to battle back once Duran beat him in that fight. And you know, and Roberto, yeah, to his credit, yeah, he is really the only fighter to knock Sugar Ray off in his prime and really, you know, had Sugar Ray just scratching his head. But at the same time, Sugar Ray was just unbelievable from his fighting style, from his quickness, the way he used to dance in the ring, how elusive he was. And you don't even have him on your list for top five. You put Pernell Whitaker and Julio Cesar Chavez over him as well. I just think, you know, sometimes I just think Floyd Mayweather just wants attention at the end of the day. And I think this was one of those ploys. And you know what? Ronda Rousey, UFC fighter who has been, you know, she is the most popular UFC fighter in the game right now. And she has always been going back and forth with Mayweather as far as talking trash. And, you know, we brought this story to our Quick Hit headliners yesterday, and I wanted to kind of discuss it here on the show. We'll do it right now. But during a recent Ask Me Anything session on the internet forum of Reddit.com, the UFC superwoman, she was asked about, you know, fighting boxer Floyd Mayweather Jr. Now, of course, this will never happen. We will never see a man fight a woman in a ring because it just wouldn't happen. I mean, especially with, you know, all the talks about domestic violence within the sporting world, we just wouldn't ever see that. So we're talking about hypotheticals here at the end of the day. But, you know, Rousey, you know, in that recent chatter, you know, which really turned into a real beef when Rousey sort of dethroned Mayweather as Fighter of the Year at the 2015 ESPYs not too long ago. And during her acceptance speech, you know, Rowdy, she went on, you know, that whole rant where she said this is the first time that Floyd has ever been beaten by a woman. And you know what that means because of the history that Floyd Mayweather Jr. has had when it comes to domestic violence. On this Q&A session on Reddit, she was asked whether or not she could beat Mayweather in a no-rules scrap. She goes on to say, quote, "Do I think I would legit beat Mayweather in a ruleless fight? Floyd is one of the best boxers of all time. He would definitely beat me in a boxing match. I unfortunately don't get into matches. I fight for a living. In a no-rules fight, I believe I can beat anyone on this planet. Boxing is a sweet science with strict rules that I respect very much and aspire every day to improve at. But you said ruleless fight. And that's my honest answer." So she does believe that she can beat Floyd Mayweather Jr. in a ruleless fight. And I have to, if we were to see this fight happen, Isaac, I'm taking Ronda Rousey. I don't know about you. I have seen this woman fight. We've seen her recent fights. And she's knocking individuals out, like, with 34 seconds, you know, into the match. I mean, it's unbelievable. Less than a minute into the match, and it's already a knockout. Now, again, you know, you look at, you know, the gender difference here, a male fighting a woman. I mean, naturally, genetically, a male is physically stronger than a woman. But Ronda Rousey isn't your average female, folks. I mean, she trains for a living. I mean, she is absolutely, absolutely chiseled. And again, boxers, I respect boxers. Don't get me wrong. And this is a debate that we've had on with Ali Easley, boxing trainer here in the area. And we've had other boxers on to discuss this, you know, whether or not, you know, if they were in a ring with a UFC guy, a guy who is trained in all arts of fighting, would they win? And I got to be honest with you, Isaac. Now, of course, they are going to defend their respective sport. Everyone that we've had, every boxer that we've had on here, and every UFC guy we've had on here has said that, yeah, we would win because they're defending their respective sport. But from my perspective, to be honest with you, Isaac, I mean, I'm taking a UFC guy in a ruleless fight any day paired up against a boxer. The only other debate that we could have about this is whether or not there's a size differential. Then you have to take that into account. But in a ruleless fight where you're using everything, where you're grappling on the ground and anything goes, a UFC fighter, you would think would take that fight 9 times out of 10 because they do everything. They're not just boxing here.
Al, we're of the same mind on this topic because at the end of the day, Floyd Mayweather made his living avoiding contact, avoiding punches. So if somebody gets him on the ground and just gets to do what they want and have their way, no, he doesn't stand a chance. And that's Ronda Rousey's specialty, submission. And I'm not sure if you saw this, but this was an absolutely fantastic comeback by the sport of UFC to Floyd Mayweather's comments that, talk to me when you make, what, $200 million in 36 minutes, whatever he said. He said that to Ronda Rousey. And UFC's, or in 12 rounds, excuse me. Mm-hmm. UFC sent out a tweet with a Ronda Rousey highlight package, hashtag, she don't need 12 rounds. And that's exactly right. Rousey ends fights early. Mayweather may only dodge for a little bit, but the second he got on the ground, Rousey would be able to submit him, as she has her last 12 of 12 opponents, her last 12 matches. And Rousey, let me just read you these last fight times. 34 seconds, 14 seconds, 16 seconds, a minute six, and then 56 seconds. Ronda Rousey, no, unparalleled. Mayweather couldn't touch her.
No, not at all. In the size differential as well. I think she's, because Mayweather's not a big dude. I don't think a lot of people realize that either. I mean, he's like 5'9", 5'8", something around there. And, like a 140, something like that. Come on now. I mean, it's kind of a no-brainer. But it's interesting to see those two go back and forth. It is always entertaining. And, Mayweather was on a recent SportsCenter interview a few days ago, or actually last weekend. And he was asked about him and Ronda and whatnot, and he brought up his pay-per-view numbers. He's always flashing money, and I think that's why, he's called Floyd Money Mayweather at the end of the day. All right, folks, let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will invite a good friend of WKAR's Current Sports, former Michigan State running back great Todd Duckett, and also he's founder of the New World Flood Organization. He'll talk about a fantastic back-to-school initiative. You don't want to miss that and so much more right here on WKAR's Current Sports.
Not a rear view mirror guy. It doesn't seem like you're kind of forge your way, go get stuff.
This feels like one of those where you ask like 50 questions on a.
Well, you're giving me slow. You're not giving me a ton to work with, coach. So I just want to find something out about Jim Harbaugh, the human being.
Okay.
I want to find out about Jim Harbaugh. I'm a player right now, and I want to play for a bunch of schools. I'm listening to Jim Harbaugh. I want to play for Jim. Well, I mean,
do you have any eligibility, Colin?
No, and I can't play worth a damn. But I'm saying is, I'm trying to kind of. I want Jim Harbaugh, the guy. Because I bring all these coaches on, and I want the guy. I mean, what? I'm a 4-3 wide receiver. Why should I play at Michigan?
You are?
No, if I was. This seems terribly difficult, Jim. For you. This is just not work. I love you to death. I really do. But it seems like we're going nowhere with this. And I love you. I'm a huge Harbaugh fan.
What can I do to make your interview better?
You can't. I'm just asking open-ended questions, and you have not much to say. I want you to sell your program. That's why I bring Urban on and I bring Steve Sark. I love you guys. I want you to sell your program. Listen, I love you. It's not working. I appreciate you stopping by, Jim Harbaugh. I've been in the business 10 years, folks. That was a clunker. There's not much I can do about it.
That never gets old. I could listen to that 20 times and it would never get old. Yeah. Jim Harbaugh, I tell you what, he hasn't seen the last of Colin Cowherd just yet. If you remember that rant that you just heard there, that awkward interview that you just heard, of course, made headlines in early July. Right on Colin Cowherd's show. Of course, Colin Cowherd, a longtime personality on ESPN. He has just left ESPN. And the final nail in the coffin for Colin Cowherd's tenure with ESPN happened to be when he made some really just, what were you thinking, remarks concerning, Dominican Republicans in the game of baseball in the Major League, in Major League Baseball. That was sort of, that also made national headlines, and that really forced ESPN's hand in saying, okay, we know you're leaving, but we got to let you go a little bit early due to those comments. They were just, if you haven't read those or heard those comments that Colin had to make, A simple Google. But I'll tell you what, Jim Harbaugh, he hasn't seen the last of Colin Cowherd just yet because, of course, Colin Cowherd, he is going over to Fox Sports. And per a report from noted media author James Andrew Miller, Cowherd is set to begin his new job at Fox Sports 1 on September 3rd as a part of the network's pregame show in advance of Michigan's 2015 season opener at Utah. Wouldn't that be something if Harbaugh and Cowherd united to do another interview? Yeah, I tell you what, I'll be tuning in for that. That's going to be entertaining stuff. But yeah, just an awkward interview that never gets old. You can play it 1,000 times. It would never get old in my eyes, all right? Our phone lines are open, folks. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Let's get to our guest for today's Current Sports. Now, of course, you guys know his name. He needs no introduction, but I'm going to give him one anyway. Former Michigan State running back great and founder of New World Flood, Todd Duckett is on the line. Todd, how you doing?
What up?
How you doing, homie? How you been,
I'm doing
Todd?
Really good, man. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. And that was the first time I heard that interview, man. That's pretty wild.
Isn't that great? That's the first time you heard that Jim Harbaugh and Colin Cowherd interview?
Yeah, I thought I was going to ask you, was that real? I mean, that's
dude.
I can hear that all day too, man. Play it again.
I know, right? All you got to do, just go on YouTube later on when you got some free time today and listen to it. It goes about like 8 minutes or so.
I will.
And it is the most awkward interview you will ever see, dude. And you would think, I mean, this is Jim Harbaugh we're talking about. He does interviews. That's part of his job. I mean, he's the head coach at Michigan. Yeah. And he was a coach in the NFL. You would think he would have handled himself a little better than that, but it was just awkward, dude. But anyway, Todd, we're excited to have you on the show. And first off, my man, I want to get your thoughts on this Geno Smith story because we started our show talking about it. Of course, Geno Smith, quarterback for the New York Jets, he was involved in I don't even know if you can call it a scuffle because it was really a sucker punch that led to him breaking his jaw. He's now out 6 to 10 weeks due to that punch, by his teammate. I got to ask you, Todd, because, again, you played here at Michigan State University. You played in the NFL. And it seems like, right on the brink of the NFL season, we always see video or always read stories about fights happening in training camp and in practice. Were you involved in any fights or scuffles? I got to know.
You got to understand, whether it's high school, college, professionals, you have the whole year of hitting each other. And coaches are revving your mind to become into that beast. And, I mean, you're tired, you're sore. The same player is going back and forth and getting on your nerves. And some of those hot days, they spark some tension. And it can be good because it shows what your team's made of. Sometimes it can be terrible if a player gets hurt and they're really affected by it. But, I mean, you start to get into these dog days of summer, and you're hitting the same person 2-3 times a day for 2-4 weeks, a month, it's time to hit somebody else at some point. And so, yeah, it happens. It's part of the game.
Todd, can you give me a story? You don't have to say any names, but can you give me a story of what happened and how did it escalate and how did it diffuse?
I'll say a pretty generic story is a fullback hitting a linebacker. They can't get the play right. You're hitting them over and over and over again. And then after the third or fourth time doing the play over in a row, maybe the linebacker just didn't like how the fullback hit them on that particular time. And, I mean, now there's some pushing. There's some shoving. There's a punch. There's a wrestle. There's the quarterbacks in it, the receiver, the DBs. And it's just a scramble. And everyone gets excited. Like, oh, we're excited now. It's crazy now. Let's line up and do it again. Let's watch these two. And it's beautiful because it does get crazy. I mean, now it's coaches may create a scenario. Okay, you're fired up. It's 4th and 1. Let's see what happens. The whole team gets around. It's a positive moment. You go in the locker room. You talk about it. It's diffused because of everyone understands what they're doing. There's some handshakes. Man, let's get focused on who we're getting ready to play or the next thing. And it's over. It's done with. It's a memory. We laugh about it in film training. It's part of it.
Now,
so that's kind of how it works. And some are worse than others, man. I mean,
yeah.
It can be more serious. But you got, especially at a pro level, you got grown men who love their job, are passionate about it, have been doing it for some weeks, is tired, frustrations are high, emotions are high, and here we go.
Now, Todd, you were very, very broad with that story. Was that were you involved in that scuffle?
I did. I was involved in a couple of them. A lot of times, man, to be perfectly honest with you, you're focused on your job. I mean, you're either tired, you're thinking, you're working, you're getting better. You really don't have time to fight. Ain't no time out here for all that. Sometimes it's called for if it's a cheap shot, but most of the time it's just frustration. And if you can avoid that, one, you might get kicked out of practice, which means you're missing some reps.
Right.
You may hurt somebody. I mean, it's good, but it's not what you want to be involved in. It doesn't keep us moving forward. So I try to stay out of them as much as possible.
And Todd, just like you said, I mean, because I hear all the time from athletes that I know who play here at Michigan State, and even in high school sometimes it happens. I mean, fights happen in practice and camp. I mean, players, like you said, they bicker, and it can escalate very, very quickly. But they have told me, just like you just said, coaches and fellow players, they get amped up and focused when you have that in type of, that type of intense atmosphere and when something like that breaks out. I mean, that can be echoed in your experience, right?
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's a brutal sport. I mean, it's a 100% physical sport. I mean, even in the workplace, there are disagreements, but you don't go to blows. You can't fight because that's not part of what the environment. In football, I mean, someone doesn't like what you do. You did something wrong. They're gonna push you. And I mean, it's crazy to say, but as long as the whistle hasn't blown, a lot of things are fair. A lot of things are within the game. And
right, right.
If you can't stop when the whistle blows, and whether it's the player trying to get better and he's going up against a veteran and he's trying to show some courage, and this is the first time in 3 weeks that he actually stood up for himself, and that's where now the team's like, oh, my gosh, we've been finally, okay, now what you going to do? You actually doing something. So, I mean, there's so many different things that are involved. It's not just, oh, we're fighting, let's get excited. I mean, there's the coaches are put players in, especially this time of year, they put players in stressful situations to see what kind of team they got, what type of players they're made of.
Mm-hmm.
And if a person can or cannot respond in a proper way, maybe they're not on the team. So, I mean, there's so much that goes into it. Us fans, we get a quick little glimpse of a fight and it takes it off. But, I mean, a lot of that could be purposely done to see where their players are mentally at, physically at, how they react under pressure. I mean, because come fourth quarter and it's fourth and one on the goal line, you're trying to figure out if you're going to make it to the playoffs or not. I can guarantee they're going to both teams are going to do whatever it takes to either get that 1 yard or to stop that 1 yard. And if you can't hold your composure in that moment, that'll ruin your season.
That is so true. Folks, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are talking with Todd Duckett, former Michigan State running back, great, and founder of New World Flood. And Todd, before, I definitely want to get to your fantastic back-to-school expo program. But, you know, just to put a bow on this conversation, because, you know, I'm a big TV guy, and I have recently started watching a show on HBO called Ballers. Have you heard of that show?
I have not. Nope, I haven't even seen it.
It's a great show. It stars Dwayne "The Rock" Johnson. It basically mimics, you know, the lives of NFL players and what they go through both on the field and off the field. And there's one particular episode I want to bring up, Todd. There's an episode where there's this guy, you know, character called Ricky Jarrett. He's a running back for the Miami Dolphins. He actually unknowingly dates one of his teammates' family members. It happens to be his teammate's mother. He had no idea it was his mother. His teammate finds out. It's pretty comical stuff. His teammate finds out, and they are just involved with this feud that goes on episode by episode by episode. Now, again, you see these scuffles happen on the field, and as you just mentioned, most of the time they're dealt with, and they kind of escalate based on what happens on the field. Now, you know, maybe a missed blocking assignment, or you just get tired of somebody hitting you. You know, something that happens on the field. But during your playing days, did you experience or witness quarrels happen with your teammates based on something that happened away from the game of football?
I'm going to say in my time, there might have been one episode I can remember that it never really got to fighting, but it was definitely heated. In that particular time, without just like getting in everyone's business, it was a position. I mean, there's only one person can play in one spot. And so you got two people who believe that they're the best, so they, why am I not in? And it became a competitive, overly competitive between the two for that space, which ended up at times carrying over into times when, after practice, when we would be hanging out and spending time together as teammates, it would kind of carry over, and then it kind of escalated. So, I mean, a lot of the stuff that you see, I mean, it's TV, it's entertainment, so it is amped up.
Right.
But, I mean, there is, again, things do happen. I would say, as of my experience, the Any Given Sunday movie, that to me is the realest depiction of what the game's about. Like, if I had to say, what movie out right now could you watch and say, is this real? Any Given Sunday would be the one that, yeah, everything in there could possibly happen at a time.
Wow, dig that. I'm going to have to go back. Cause I remember the movie, and I kind of remember it in parts, but it's kind of vague. I'll have to go back and watch that pretty recently then, Ty.
And it's interesting because the movie came out, I want to say, like my freshman year in college or something. Mm-hmm. Or it came out early, before I even started playing ball.
Right.
So I had a chance to see it and be like, man, that's not, what are these guys doing? And then to get there and live there, I'm like, oh, okay, it's kind of crazy. And then now to be post-career and look back, I'm like, yeah, that's very capable. That, yep, it is what it is.
Right.
So, yeah, yeah.
That's pretty interesting stuff. All right, Todd. And, you know, looking at this year's Michigan State football team, you talk about a position battle. There's going to be one, heated one that is going to be taking place throughout training camp and now into practice as we are now less than a month away from the start of the Michigan State football year. And, you know, of course, you know, I got to ask you this because you have played this position. You have played running back here at Michigan State. And there's going to be a pretty intense battle that's going to ensue throughout the next few weeks here. Of course, Madre London, LJ Scott, Delvin Williams, Gerald Holmes, all battling to be that guy in the backfield as the running back for the Spartans. Who do you think is going to win that out?
I don't know.
It's tough, right? Yeah.
I mean, right now, I honestly don't know. It's hard to put – I mean, I wish I could give you a real answer. But right now, with it being so early, one, you're going to – big thing is who stays healthy. Who's going to be the healthiest when it's time? And I don't know who knows the offense the best either. Whoever knows the offense and has grasped the full concept has the best chance to have the most skill. I mean, you got a couple big guys, you got small guys. I mean, they have different qualities in them. Now, if they don't worry about who's getting 30 carries a game and understand the team concept of the game and depending on how the coaches plan on utilizing them, they'll each have plenty of time to get plenty of carries and help out the team. If they're focused on how many carries do I get, am I doing better than him, then they're missing the big picture of how to win a game and what championships are all about. And that can be a subtle thing that really causes little cracks in the team. But I mean, after camp, I mean, let us watch them a little bit. Let us see how they handle what this training camp goes. And in a week or so into it, we should be able to at least give a better prediction on who's going to be the starter. And in truth, I mean, it could be three guys back there. It doesn't just have to be one. Whoever starts the game is cool, but who finishes the game is the one that made it matter, made it count. Mm-hmm. So all the running backs have to understand that just because you're the starter. I mean, there's so many, and that's something that I had to learn when I was playing in college and professional with different guys that I had to play with. I mean, certain guys are going to have a better game someday than you do, and you'll have a better day than others that day. Some days you end up in more situational football than other games, so you get more carries. But if everyone's doing what they're supposed to do and productive, and you win as a team, and that's what we play the game for. So a lot of these young kids that are the student athletes that are in that position, hopefully they're looking at the bigger team as a whole, and it's not about what can I get mine, and am I the starter, am I that title in that space. If I'm a full team player and we all get some carries and we all run, we all win, man, I'm happy.
And Todd, as you just said, I mean, some guys are going to have better days than others, but doesn't it come down to that C word as well, consistency? Who is more consistent throughout camp?
Yes, 100%. Who's consistent? Who's durable? And I mean, honestly, who do players get along with? Who's they like blocking for? mean, who's a good? I mean, all there's so much stuff
yeah.
that gets in there that, I mean, and when we're talking about 18, 19, 21, 20, 21-year-olds, 22-year-olds. So, and we're also talking about a team that has been very successful and has high expectations, even higher this year. So mm-hmm. There's going to be a lot of things that come into play. If all of them can go in and not focus on the extra and just focus on playing and getting better, I mean, like I said, somebody's going to get hurt. Somebody's going to have to step up. And collectively, they got to support each other. Only way it can be done.
Ty Duckett, former Michigan State University running back, great, and founder of New World Flood. Let's dive right into the Back to School Expo. It's a community-wide K-12 information fair held at the Lansing Center in downtown Lansing, Michigan, designed to supply K-12 kids with a great start to their school year with school-related information, backpacks, and school supplies. Ty, how did this idea come about?
It started about 4 or 5 years ago, and just wanted kids going back to school. I'm very, very passionate about education. Both my parents were school teachers, so I'm very, very focused on how to help kids especially be successful. So we started a few years ago, and we had like 500 backpacks, and they were gone in the first 15, 20 minutes. And so we saw the demand, we saw the need, we raised it up. Another couple hundred the following year, the same thing happened. So then we started to, how can we affect a bigger scale on a bigger level? Now we're up to over 2,000 backpacks. We're at the Lansing Center. We have different exhibitors, vendors, people in the community that are going to be there participating. So you're not just coming and grabbing a backpack. You walk in and in our first open room, there's a chance to get a haircut. There's a chance to get a workout in. There's a chance to meet other nonprofits that can help. To help you and your child throughout the school year, whether it's tutoring, whether it's just after-school programs, there's health checks. LASCU's been huge supporter. Dean Transportation has been a huge supporter. You guys, WKAR, have been tremendously big in this, and you'll have a stage presence there and be running part of the stage and the entertainment there as well. Mm-hmm. So it's a community event, getting people together to show what type of passion that we have for the youth, to help them grow, to help them have a positive school experience, and then keep motivating them throughout the year. So us to connect with them and really get them to know us know them, and let's continue the school year together.
That's fantastic stuff, Todd. And for our listeners out there who are, you know, hearing about this this Back to School Expo, a fantastic event. For our listeners out there that want to get involved and maybe want to donate, if they have some school supplies that they, you know, want to toss to you guys to help out the kids, can they do that?
Yes, yes. Go to newworldflood.org, and on our homepage is a link to the expo. You can find out information there. You can donate there. At both Juice Nations, the one downtown Lansing, and in Old Town, there's our drop-off spots to be able to drop off supplies if you want to. So there's plenty of space. There's plenty of places to help. If there's any questions, you can email us at info@newworldflood.org. Yeah, and let us know what we need. We can be reached through our social media, on Facebook or Twitter as well.
That's great stuff. And again, the dates, folks, mark it on your calendar. That's going to be Tuesday, August 18th. From 4 to 7 p.m. at the Lansing Center, downtown Lansing, Michigan. The one, the only, Ty Duckett, former Michigan State University running back, great, and founder of New World Flood. Ty, always a pleasure, my man.
Yeah, thank you, man. Thank you for all that you do, man. All the support you do for us and in the community. You are a huge asset to us here in this area. Thank you for being you, man. Appreciate you.
No, we appreciate you, Ty. Right back at you, my man. You take care, all right?
Yes, sir. Love, man. Have a good one. Take
all
care.
Right.
Thanks.
Let's hit our second break. When we come back, we will put a bow on this edition of Current Sports by giving you our brief thoughts on Michigan's high school football scene, as we are now just weeks away from high school football as well. And also, NFL owners hearing proposals for a possible team in sunny, beautiful Los Angeles, California. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Welcome back. We just finished up a fantastic chat with Ty Duckett, former Michigan State University running back great and founder of the New World Flood Organization. Always a great chat with Ty. And, we were just talking to Isaac during that brief break we just had on how we really started to poke the bear. I tried to poke the bear at least with Ty to get a juicy, NFL behind-the-scenes story when it comes to maybe an on-the-field or off-the-field scuffle that he may have went through during his playing time here at Michigan State or in the pros. And he did a great job handling it. I mean, Ty's a pro. He's a pro in everything, and he did a great job handling it and making those stories very broad with no names attached to him, okay?
Yeah, Al, he is a pro. That was an experienced move by his part because you can bet that's something that really makes the rounds in the NFL. And in the wake of Geno Smith's 6-to-10-week injury, I'm not sure if you want to go around saying anything that could get you sucker punched.
Yeah, you don't want that, right? And I tell you what, man, it's so interesting as well because you see sometimes, when NFL players or an MLB player, any pro athlete, when their career is said and done, you start to see these tell-all books come out where they actually list names of individuals they may have played with and, coaches they played for or, teammates that they had during their playing careers. And they just dish out dirt that happens in their playing career, on and off the field. And it's so interesting because actually, former Michigan State basketball player Jay Vincent is said to have, supposed to be coming out with a book, a tell-all book about his playing career in the National Basketball Association, in the NBA. And he plans to dish out, NBA secrets of, maybe parties that took place, stories of teammates that he had, and, they may have been involved in some juicy things off the court. I'm just really not a big fan of tell-all books. I don't know about you. I mean, yeah, they're interesting from a fan's perspective, but at the end of the day, I mean, it's like, okay, for me, it looks like a guy just trying to get a check at the end of the day.
Yeah, Al, it looks like I see it exactly like you do, because tell-all books, there is a sanctity of being in the NFL or the NBA. It's a fraternity, and once you're there, you can't just tell everything. These guys do have lives, and they wouldn't be under this scrutiny. We've all done things, but since they're pro players, sometimes all their secrets get spilled, and that's not really fair to them. If they keep it under wraps, then you keep it under wraps.
Yeah, it's like, isn't there a code? There's supposed to be a code, right? But I guess, again, if some of these players are in financial duress, I mean, yeah, I guess you're trying to do anything to get that check. And it's supposed to be called, NBA Secrets. That's the book that Jay may be putting out. He said it will be a glimpse into the lives of NBA players, including descriptions of the groupies and training camps. He said he still has to add a section about NBA players and others connected to the league who committed suicide. This is going to be some juicy stuff. I mean, for the casual fan, yeah, you better believe this thing is going to sell because, again, naturally controversy sells. But at the same time, it's like, dude, come on. Does that really need to be out in the public like that? So, I don't know, man. It puzzles me sometimes. We, unfortunately, folks, are out of time, though. Didn't even get to talk about some high school football, man. I tell you what, we had a full slate in store. We'll continue and table some of those discussions for tomorrow's show. You have been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. A special thanks to Ty Duckett for joining me on today's show. Take care. Have a fantastic Wednesday. And be easy, people.